So, sorry if you expected Alan and wanted him this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn over to Genesis chapter 2, right in the beginning, that's where we'll start. I want to say thanks for having me this morning. It means a lot. This is probably the fourth or fifth time I've been here, second time I've been here to teach with you guys. And you guys are super sweet and super encouraging, and it means a lot more than you'll know. Genesis chapter 2. Let's read verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." If you expected a lesson on Thanksgiving this morning, I'm sorry to disappoint you. And this lesson is also not on marriage between a man or a woman, because I don't really know much about that. But instead, we're going to take that phrase that God says, "It is not good for man to be alone," and talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about loneliness and being alone. And those two things are different, so I want to contrast that real quick with you. Loneliness, we probably think of as the internal feeling, sadness. It's that feeling of, oh, I'm alone. This is so hard for me, what I'm going through, or I don't feel supported, right? And being alone is more of the neutral state. It's the external. Being alone just means that you're alone. Nothing's around you, nothing's surrounding you, but it's not necessarily the internal painful feeling of loneliness. So this morning, what I'd like for us to accomplish is talk about some good things, some good habits that we can have and do in our alone time. And then I want to talk about some bad things that we need to be warned about and need to be on guard about in our alone time. And then lastly, I want to speak with you guys about loneliness, that feeling, and maybe some mindsets and encouragements that can help us when we have that internal feeling of loneliness. If you will, pray with me before we get into that. God, thank you for this day that you've given to us, this day that we celebrate as our day that salvation was given to us, and we memorialize Jesus Christ's death and what that means for us. God, thank you for all the hearts in here that are opening up to your word. God, I pray that you be with me as I speak, that I may speak words of truth and words of grace, and that they may be helpful to everyone in here. God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to be more like him today and every day. In his name we pray. Amen. So, let's talk about the good of being alone. If you're an introvert, you're probably like, yes, I love being alone. This is amazing. This is the best thing in the world. If you're an extrovert, maybe you don't spend a lot of time alone, but there's value in it. There's value to alone time. And one of those things that's valuable in our alone time is minimizing distractions. So often, we, myself at least, have a hard time minimizing the distractions and the things that maybe cloud our minds in everyday life, right? Work, school, family, all these things that are good, but can sometimes cloud our minds. Having time separate from our coworkers, from maybe our family for a little bit, from the media that we spend our time looking at, whatever, can help us to mentally refocus, right? It can clear our minds so we can meditate and think on the things above. On top of this, it can help us see what out of those things that may be distracting and clouding our minds, maybe when we have time alone, we can see what's actually negative and what maybe we need to filter out of the times that we spend with other people and other things. If we feel terrible all the time that we spend with the people we spend our time with, the things we're doing, the job we have, whatever that may be, time alone can help us to mentally see that and to make a change. Of course, we know that time alone can also be a good opportunity for us to hear from God. Time alone is a great time to spend in the Word, Speaking of introverted people, one of their favorite hobbies, and one of my favorite hobbies, is reading, right? And what better thing to spend our time reading than the Word of God? And reading the Word of God is essential to our growth, and we all know that. And doing that together is great and it's encouraging, but doing that alone enriches our relationship with God. Every day, we should set aside time alone where we can read God's Word by ourselves. God is going to feel closer to us. We're going to feel closer to God. And that's really important. We can't ever stress the importance of that enough. Another thing that alone time has provided for me and may provide for you guys as well is that it helps us reflect more deeply on ourselves. We talked about, okay, it minimizes distractions, but it also provides us time to not just think about the distractions that maybe we need to take out of our lives or set aside from our lives, but it also gives us time to reflect on me, right? Reflect on yourself. We are people who are complex, and having time alone can be positive in the way of learning more about ourselves. And why would we need to do that? Well, so we can examine what we may need to grow in, what we may need to work on. Maybe we are so busy and crowded in life that we get to have time alone and we finally see, oh, I'm spending all this time talking about these things. I don't need to be talking about that. I'm dressing like this. I'm talking like this. I'm behaving like this. And it's not who I need to be or who I want to be even. Time alone helps us to reflect so that we may repent. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Here we find the final thing I want to share with you that's a positive thing we can do in our alone time. Mark chapter 1, we're just going to read one verse, verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Just like we talked about, time alone can be an opportunity for us to hear from God and to study His Word. Time alone can be a good time for us to talk to God ourselves. And we're going to feel closer to God if we spend a lot of time talking to Him. We spend a lot of time talking to everyone in our busy lives, to all the people we surround ourselves with. Today, you're probably going to talk to a lot of people. At work tomorrow, you're going to talk to a lot of people. Thursday, you're going to be talking to a lot of people, talking about what you're thankful for. Who's the most important relationship that you have in your life? It should be God. And if it is God, then we're going to make time alone, just us and God, to speak to Him, to open up to Him, to repent, to give thanks, to talk to Him about our day, whatever it may be. Prayer is such a good practice, and we see that from Jesus Himself. And Jesus gives us something really practical here. It's not just like, Jesus prayed alone. But look at this. Look at this verse. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place. And so here's my tip from this verse that is clearly lined out for us, is find a place and a time. Because you might not want to do it in your house with a bunch of screaming children if you have a bunch of screaming children, or if your house is just the place where you're always relaxing with your husband or wife or family or whatever it may be. Something here that Jesus shows us is sometimes it's smart to go away from wherever you are. Find a time, find a place to go and reflect, to go and read, to go and pray, to go and do whatever is going to help you spiritually grow. The verse applies not just to prayer, but it applies to all the things we talked about. So those are some good things that we can do in our alone time. But there are some bad things that we fall into in our alone time, and there are some things that we need to look out for. One of those is wasting our time on unhelpful thoughts and negative thoughts and actions. Time alone can have its fair share of negativity, right? Something that can be a bad part of being alone are the unhelpful thoughts and actions we may take or we may start to believe. These include self-hatred that's not going to be helpful, and an overabundance of negativity that's not going to be helpful. And sometimes when we're alone, we let those things consume us, and they overpower us to the point where we're not thinking about growth, we're not thinking about studying or prayer or any of these things that are going to help us, but instead we're just letting ourselves be beat down. And so time alone, we need to be very careful to not let the negativity consume us. And that leads into something else, which is, we talked about a good thing to do in our time alone is listen to God, right? More time to hear from God. But time alone, in a bad sense on that, can be more time to listen to the father of lies. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We know that Satan is out to get us. We read in John chapter 8 and verse 44 something that describes who Satan is. John chapter 8, verse 44, this is Jesus speaking. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. He is the father of lies. That's how Satan is described. And so if we're not spending our time alone listening to God, studying his word, praying to him, focusing on him, then what's going to happen is the father of lies is going to whisper into our ears. And many people in their isolated states when they're alone let the father of lies speak to them so much that they start to believe him. They start to believe the twisted, warped ways that are selfishness and wrong. They're lies. This leads to hatred and confusion and hopelessness and all kinds of messed up things. And another thing that I think we need to look out for when it comes to being alone and spending time alone is that for some of us, depending on what sins we may struggle with, temptation might be a lot heavier when we're alone. Satan will not only just lie to us and mess up our minds, but he will also strike when temptation is easy for us. And sometimes when we're alone, temptation is more likely to happen. Some of these sins that I have listed down, I'll share with you, and you might be thinking of some yourself that I haven't thought of. But one of those sins that I think comes to us when we're alone is vanity. We're sitting there, and we're listening to the lies of Satan, the lies of the world, and we're alone and nobody's snapping us back into reality, and we become vain. We care about physical things far more than spiritual things. And that leads into another, which is idolatry. We get our phones out, we look through stuff, and we become obsessed with it so much so that we place it on God's throne. Another thing with this is when we're having our times alone, maybe we're thinking about other people and we're envying them. Maybe we're envying the evil man, like it talks about in the Psalms. Maybe we're envying people who are good people, but they just have it better than us. Another big one that we probably are thinking of is lust, right? In our time alone, Satan likes to strike us when it comes to lust, when it comes to the temptation of pornography and sexual sins and things that we think we can keep hidden. Satan likes to get us there. A final one I have for you is gluttony. Just giving in to everything that I want to consume, whether it be media or food or whatever, and just being lazy. Spending our time alone in a way that's not productive and instead is just selfish and filling ourselves up. So, there's good to being alone. There's bad to being alone. But look at how Jesus fights the temptation of being alone. Look over at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, this is going to be a little lengthier than just one verse. We're going to read all the temptation account here. We're going to pick up in verse 1. Matthew 4 and verse 1. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. The father of lies can be beat in our times alone. We see Jesus is alone, hungry, tired, worn out. Satan tries to tempt him, and he uses God's words to fight that. And we need to place our lives on God's words, or else we're not going to be able to survive the temptations we face alone. We're not going to be able to say, "No, that's not right. No, this is stupid. No, this is a lie. No, this is whatever," if we don't know what's right, if we don't know what's truth. And so that's why it's important to focus on the good things that we can spend our time doing when we're alone, like studying the Word, like knowing what the truth is. We need to know what the truth is in order to fight the lies. So there's some good and there's some bad of being alone. Let's talk about the pain of loneliness and the feeling of loneliness. You might be sitting in here and feeling really, really lonely. I'm sorry. That's hard, and it's a feeling that is very, very consuming and tears us down. And you might feel alone in your faith. And we look in the scriptures and we think of characters, or at least I think of Elijah. I think of Elijah when he's talking to God and he's saying, "I'm the only one here, God." And God says, "No, you're not. There's other people who are following." But Elijah feels that loneliness, that hopelessness of being alone and feeling alone. And so you might feel that way at your work or in the environment you're in, or maybe it's your family. Maybe here it's like, yeah, Christians. And then boom, Thursday it's like, doesn't really seem like Christians really. Maybe it's not your faith though. Maybe you feel alone in the struggles that you have, whether it be your health or your depression or your anxiety or your specific trials. I think of the scriptures of Paul with that. I think of in 2 Corinthians 4, how Paul talks about how he's been beaten and stricken and hurt. And I think about when Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh. But Paul always has an answer that the Spirit inspired him to write down, which is that God didn't abandon him. God was still there with him. So maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you're not an Elijah, but you're a Paul. And you're thinking, man, nobody gets this. Nobody understands what it's like to have this disease or this problem or whatever. Maybe you're not Elijah. Maybe you're not Paul. Maybe you're Job. Maybe you're someone who's actually lost people around you and you're actually literally more lonely. And maybe you have less and less people surrounding you than you did years ago. And it's breaking your heart. And you feel beat down by it. No matter which one of these you are, whether you're Elijah or Paul or Job or whatever Bible character you want to name, Jeremiah, whatever sad prophet there is that prayed to God and it just sounded like this dude was crying to death. Whoever you are, Jesus felt your loneliness. Turn over to Luke chapter 22. When I think of lonely scenes in the Bible and people who went through extreme loneliness, I think we can all think of Jesus leading up to his death. He has friends betraying him, people coming to attack him. And when you want to talk about nobody being able to relate to you, here it is. You're literally the Son of God. Nobody else is. But you're here and you're a man. You're in a physical body. and you're about to have to die in front of everybody. You have to be spat upon after you were just in heaven. You have to be spat upon and beaten, and you're going to be hanged in front of people naked. Like, nobody gets this. And so he's lonely, I think. I think that's fair to say. And so leading up to his death and his time of loneliness and pain, look at verse 39 of Luke 22 for what Jesus does. And he, Jesus, came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not enter into temptation." Jesus, in his time of loneliness, gives us a few lessons. I want to share them with you, and then the lesson will be yours. Number one, you'll see three times that Jesus says to pray, or he prays himself. He tells them to pray, the people that are with him, he tells them to pray twice, and then he himself prays. And we talked about this earlier, that's a good practice to have when we're alone. It's also a good practice to have when we actually feel lonely. Pray. And keep praying. No matter how useless or pointless it feels, keep doing it. Keep praying. Keep talking to God about all the problems. And then we see here something cool that might not be super applicable, but I think it is. Verse 43 says, "Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him." Jesus was strengthened by something else, by an angel. And if you're lonely and you pray, I'm not promising that an angel is going to jump out of the sky and be like, "Hey, it's okay, you're good, and then everything's going to be fine." I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe it is, but I don't think it's going to happen. But here's a practical way to like view that and actually put it into our lives, is that we need to be strengthened by something else than ourselves. So when you're feeling lonely and you're feeling like you want to give up, don't think, "Oh, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to be by myself and I'm just going to feel lonely and it's probably not going to get fixed and that's it." No. Look to the left, look to the right, look behind you. Like, there's people in this room that want to help you through your loneliness. And ultimately, the feeling of loneliness might stick with you for a while, and it might be too heavy to completely get rid of, but there's people here who want to comfort you. Brothers and sisters who want to comfort you and lift you up in your time of struggle. And more importantly than that is, there's a place where you're not going to feel loneliness. There's a place where there's no such thing as crying or loneliness or being alone. When we can be with God and with Jesus and with all the other people who struggled through loneliness and kept praying through it all, kept studying through it all, kept pushing through. And so if you're here and you're struggling with that, and that's consuming you and you need prayers for it, don't hesitate to get help. If you're here and you're just brokenhearted and you're lost and you don't know what you're doing and you feel lonely in that way, don't hesitate to get help. If you need help in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.